Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Take a little trip with me and hopefully you can see how the hood, suburbs, and Main Street are all connected. Enough respect, I mean, we network across the globe because it's a global market in case you didn't know. And since we all about information flow, let me be the first one to welcome you to Tech Zone with Paul Amadeus Lane. Let's talk tech because technology changing the game. It's all good in the hood, it's everywhere. Now let's get to the show because we live on air, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Tech Zone. I am Paul Amadeus Lane. I am your czar of technology, and I'm so happy to have you with me on the show today. We got some great guests. We're going to be talking about some technology, some innovation out there, what companies are doing to stay relevant. You name it, we got it. I'm back from E3. Wasn't feeling that good last week, so we played a rebroadcast of a lot of our E3 interviews, and we hope that you enjoyed them, had a great time there. And we have some more things we're going to release that we did at E3 too. So make sure you follow me on social media and all my different platforms. The best way to do that, PaulAmadeusLane.com, PaulAmadeusLane.com. And I started a campaign during E3. You guys remember what it was? If you didn't, here it goes. I'm going to start a campaign. Sean Nickerson. Sean is our extraordinary engineer over at KMET 1490 ABC News Radio. Sean is awesome. Great tech guy. He's okay gamer. No, I'm just joking. He's a pretty good gamer. And we're going to try to start a campaign to bring Sean to E3 with his 2018. So don't be surprised if I set up a page because we got to get Sean there. I think Sean would lose his mind like being there at E3, so we're going to start that campaign. But wanted to start our show today talking about a little bit of tech news that we have out there. You know, the iPhone turns 10 after 2 billion people have bought this smartphone. Imagine if we created that iPhone, Sean. We'd probably be rich beyond our wildest dreams. Yeah. So the ups and downs of the iPhone. I'm a big Android guy. So I've never owned an iPhone, probably never will. I'm biased to the Android format. I think the iPhone, you're paying way too much money for the similar, you know, things that Android does. And also, I'm just not down with, no, I'm not even going to go there and say it. But, yeah. So 10 years old, you have an iPhone, let your iPhone show. Also, Amazon developers are creating more Alexa commands. Do you have Alexa? I don't. I think we should have a show centered around Alexa and see the practicality of it. You can say, hey, Alexa, give me a beer. That'd be pretty cool, right, Sean? Or, hey, Alexa, make me some crust. That'd be pretty cool, too. Or, hey, Alexa, get me that pizza. That'd be pretty cool. So we're going to dedicate a show to that. But also, let's talk about televisions for a minute. LG is getting ready to create a 77-inch wallpaper television. You heard it correctly. 77-inch 4K wallpaper television. Thin. It's yours if the price is right. That price tag is going to be $20,000. You got to be out of your ever-loving mind to pay $20,000 for a TV that's going to be like $5 in 3 years. Even if I had the money, even if I had Sean's money, I wouldn't pay $20,000 for no doggone TV. And you know, I love technology. Yes, I do. I love technology. But I'm not going to spend 20 grand on no TV. That's just utterly ridiculous. Even if you got the money, don't do that. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, I haven't had a chance to talk with you since the big merger, Amazon and Whole Foods. What do you think about that? You know, here's my take on it. For ones like myself who are physically challenged and unable to drive, I can drive my wheelchair, but I can't drive a ride. Ones who are elderly and infirm, I think that it's great. It kind of gives you some independence out there. You don't have to wait till your caregiver or a family member to go home to get you shopping, because sometimes that's a lot of drama right there. Hey, can you take me to the store? Oh, I'm tired. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying. So for ones who are elderly and infirm and disabled, I think it's a great measure of independence. Now, for ones out there who, say, a single mom who's working all day, great. Get your groceries delivered to you. Are there any drawbacks? Well, a friend of mine, Samara Lynn, I've had her on the show several times, tech editor and all things digital at Black Enterprise Magazine. She actually wrote an article about it, and I'm going to have Samara on, try to get her on next week to talk about it and talk about the pros and cons when it comes to what Amazon is doing with Whole Foods. And don't forget, any tech subjects out there you'd like for us to discuss on the show, go to my website, paulamadeuslane.com, paulamadeuslane.com. Reach out to me on all my formats. Email me. My producer, Christina, she gets the emails and she channels through them, and she's a pretty tough cookie. She'll mess around. I'm going to try to get her on the show one day. She's pretty cool. She's funny. But hey, let's get the show on the road. When we get back from our break, we're going to talk about how a health and technology company is using innovation for their consumers to help people stay healthy. And I think that's a pretty darn cool thing, and how they're expanding some tech jobs where we're at here in California to Temecula. Now, Temecula is normally known as wine country. I'm going to flip that around. We're going to make it be known tech country, as we're going to do. Hey, I'm Paul Amadeus Lane. When we get back, we're going to talk about that subject. Don't go nowhere. Tell them, Sean. Welcome back, Tech Zone, Paul Amadeus Lane. So happy to have you back with me. Second segment of the show. If you missed our first segment, you can always check it out. Podcast, YouTube, you name it, we got you covered. You know, on the show, we always talk about how technology has changed the game when it has come to business. If you are a business out there, and if you are not embracing technology, you may be left behind. But we also like to talk about the entrepreneurial spirit out there that ones have. Have you ever had an idea and you wanted to expand on an idea to create a company, but then only to have it fall by the wayside because maybe you've gotten criticism from others saying, don't do that. There's no market for that. How do you know if you don't take a chance if it's going to work or not? My next guest took a chance on business and a company, along with some partners, has also embraced technology in order to stay relevant, and is now expanding tech jobs here in California, in Temecula. It's been 30 years. You think he's glad he took that chance and took that journey? Oh, and should I say also, the company is profitable? That's why I'm so happy to have joined me right now. And joining me right now, I have the chairman, CEO, co-founder of American Specialty Health Inc., George DeVries. George, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, Paul. Thanks for having me aboard this morning.
It's my pleasure, my friend. And when I was looking at your company and just the journey that you guys have been on, it has been truly amazing. And I wanted to start the discussion about how the company started. And I heard a rumor. I heard a rumor that it started off in a two-bedroom condo. Is that true?
That is true. It was my wife and I 30 years ago, and she was working to support us, and I was working out of the second bedroom of the townhouse we lived in.
Wow, it's awesome to have a supportive wife to allow us to do our thing and be supportive, and it is truly amazing. And looking at the journey of when you first started out, did you ever think that you would see the growth that you see today with the company?
Well, you know, Paul, you always kind of hope and dream, but realistically, you think, well, I just need to sort of take care of first things first, and we just want to try to get these things off the ground. And that's what we were really focused on back then. But it's hard to believe the journey we've been on for 30 years and where we are at today and the prospects we have for the future.
And when you created the company, was it something that you saw a need for out there and said, you know, it would be nice to have a company that can focus on this area right here? Or was it something that someone else brought to you and you said, you know what, let's put this together?
Well, I had two partners out of Minnesota, and they were focused on trying to build what we call a network program of chiropractors that we would take to health plans and encourage the health plans to offer chiropractic utilizing our network of providers, and we would administer the program for the health plan. So that's kind of how it started, and they were trying to get it started in Minnesota, and so the three of us got together and said, you know, let's try to see what we can do in California.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because over 30 years ago, a lot of health plans wouldn't cover chiropractic care, correct? Once had to come out of pocket and pay for it, correct?
That's absolutely correct, Paul. In fact, in California, originally health plans, HMOs, did not offer chiropractic, wasn't required to offer it. So we'd go to the health plans and we'd say, offer a chiropractic benefit and we'll organize it for you, we'll administer it for you, and then offer it to employer groups, the employer groups that you're providing medical coverage for, and sell it to those employers like you would a vision or dental plan. So it became what we call a supplemental group rider that that an employer would purchase for their employees. So that's exactly the way we started.
And as you go through the journey now with the new company, talk about the importance of having a supportive team over the years to really continue on with the vision that you had when you first created the company.
Well, Paul, I think most people really understand people make all the difference, and the people you have on your team really make the difference between being a startup and ultimately getting to where we are today, which is $500 million a year company in terms of revenue with terrific prospects for the future. And I think the thing, as I look back in the last 30 years, the thing I'm most grateful for is just really great people, key people have come along at different times, joined our team, whether it be from human resources or operations or sales and marketing, technology, information systems, that people have joined our team and really helped us to build the company that we are today.
That's amazing, because I always say that, well, make sure I say it correct, teamwork makes the dream work. I said it right that time. So yeah, got to have a supportive team, you know, out there, and just the success that you guys are achieving is truly, truly admirable. And let's talk about, I guess, some of the challenges along the way when it came to the company and also the industry. Were there things along the way that may have threatened what you guys have put in place?
Well, this is America, and it's a dynamic economy. It's a competitive economy out there. I don't think it matters what industry you're in. It's always challenging. And sure, lots of challenges along the way. That's part of what's made it sort of a great ride, I guess I would say. And we've made a lot of decisions at Wise in the Road that I think have turned out to be very good business decisions that really made the difference between us perhaps sputtering or not becoming the company, at the very least, not becoming the company we've become.
And when it comes to being the chairman, CEO, and also co-founder, being the captain of the ship, there are times when you have to reassess certain things to make sure that the company is staying relevant, that innovative ideas are out there, and staying relevant through the decades. How have you guys been able to do that when it comes to innovation and when it comes to just the company's vision?
Well, that's the real challenge for every company. How do you over a period of 30 years stay creative and innovative? And I like to think we are a very innovative organization, that we're a learning organization. And I say that in the context that, even though I'm chairman and CEO, I we have a very flat organization. I stay very close to our customers, involved with our sales process in terms of really being in the market and meeting with customers, talking with customers, understanding where they're at, what they need, what their vision for their future is, how we can help them grow their organizations, how we can be a solution for the things that they need. I think also it's looking beyond our industry, it's looking beyond our company and looking more wholly at, what other industries are doing. I mean, when you look at some of the things happening in the world of technology, when you look at some of the things happening in other industries, I think they set some pretty good examples of things that we can be doing in healthcare that perhaps we're behind on.
And you know what? I've been covering the consumer technology field for over a decade. And I remember at the Consumer Technology Association show they put on CES about 5 or 6 years ago, I was talking with the marketing guru over there, Steve Koenig. And we were talking about the Internet of Things. And we were at a conference by Sean Dubrovac, and we were talking about digitizing things. Should we digitize that? Should we digitize that? And how in less than a decade, we were going to see how health, how different technologies out there are going to start integrating some of these technologies in order to stay relevant and also to continue on with the mission. And how has technology played a part in your company now? Because just recently, you guys are really like pushing this tech and to really help out with the company and helping out the consumers out there.
Well, technology really has been a key focus for us for 30 years. When we started our company, there's no off-the-shelf software system that could help us to manage chiropractic claims, so to speak. And so we built our own integrated health information system. And Paul, it's one of those blessings in disguise. At the time, it was very difficult, expensive. But in the end, we look back on it, it's probably one of the best things that ever happened to us because, at that time, having what I would call a mission critical application, which at that point was our health information system, allowed us to be more flexible. It allowed us to work with our clients in a more flexible environment. And we ultimately ended up over the first decade of the company contracting with most of the 10 largest health plans in the state. But even back then, in the late 80s and 90s, technology played a key part for us. And then as we advanced and went forward, we again used technology as we built a website that for the providers we work with to be able to go online to do anything that they would do with us by paper or by phone, they could do online. And that's become probably one of the instrumental things that has helped us to improve our efficiency and effectiveness. As we've moved beyond that over the last decade, we have, especially in the last 5 years, Paul, we've actually split our technology team into two. And one is our information systems team that really focuses on our infrastructure. And the second is a consumer technology team that's really focused on what you would say are the consumer applications, whether they be, digital platforms that consumers can use to help improve their own healthcare, whether they be member apps, people can use mobile apps and access information more quickly, whether it's what we call connected, which is connecting our members to the hundreds of wireless devices for fitness and different types of health devices. So it is an amazing sort of road we've been on, but we've really seen ourselves as an organization really become a technology-enabled healthcare company, that technology is really driving our opportunities to be more efficient, to be more effective, and to be more focused on the consumer going forward, which I believe is critical for success in healthcare.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The way things are going. I mean, everybody has a smart device, and they have smart watches. They have all these different devices that are digitized, and why not use them for good? You know, there are some nefarious things that people do with these devices. Use them for good, use them for health. And what your company is doing out there, I think it's spot on. And when it comes to the different technologies that you guys have implemented, how do you guys decide which technology to implicate and maybe to put on a back burner for a little while? How do you guys come up with that decision?
Well, that's always a tough one. That's always the one of choosing priorities and kind of looking at our vision as a company and sort of saying, you know, where's the best opportunity for us as an organization in the healthcare industry? And what are the things we can be doing to really, you know, kind of goes back to the purpose of the company, which is to improve quality of care and to bend the cost curve, help make healthcare more affordable. That's the purpose of our organization with everything we do. So as we look at, you know, kind of choices we make and priorities, we said it's in the context of that purpose and sort of saying, okay, how can we really use technology in a way that makes us more efficient and bends the cost curve, you know, reduces the cost of healthcare, and also improves clinical quality of care. And that's, a lot of things fall by the wayside with that, you know, when you look at it in that context.
That is so true. And I just want to let the audience know some of the things that you guys have achieved over the years. I'm gonna gloss you guys for a minute, George. Over 42 million members covered, 60,000 clinical providers working with American Specialty Health. Silver and Fit program celebrates 10 years with over 3.8 million members. Introduced the Empowered Decisions Pain Control Program for back and other skeletal conditions, and introduce Active and Fit Direct self-pay customer fitness and exercise program. You've been holding out on me, George. You guys have been awesome, and I'm just hearing about you guys.
Well, we've, you know, never hurts Paul fly a little bit under the radar, and you know, we've been just, you know, been working hard through the years. I mean, we do work with about 140 plus health plans across the country, and we're in all 50 states, and we do serve 43 million Americans through those different programs. So our name isn't always at the top of the marquee, so to speak, but I think everybody knows the health plans we work with, and in many cases, the large Fortune 1000 companies who we have the opportunity to work directly with. So and we have a lot going on. You know, innovation, as I've said before, but Paul, innovation is kind of critical to our organization. We have a whole innovation teams for each of our key business areas that meet every quarter. We're constantly sort of saying, how can we enhance and improve what we already have? And how can we take products we have, create, sort of look at adjacent areas to those products, and build sort of new creative products and bring those to market? And, you know, I think that's what we've been really focused on. So, you know, we've ended up over the past 30 years later with, you know, 2 to 3 dozen products that we have in the market that have really worked for us and are continuing to work for us.
And you guys are growing too, because you guys are expanding to Temecula and bringing tech to Temecula. And let's talk about that growth.
Yes. Well, we have over 200 full-time technology staff already inside of our company. And we have a company of about 1,400 full-time employees across the country. And but technology is a key part of how we know we're going to be successful going forward in the future. And so we're looking for ways to continue to attract and retain just some of the best talent in technology. And yes, we have a large technology team down in San Diego at our offices in the Sereno Valley area. But we want to continue to expand that technology team. And we, you know, we're not, shall we say, bashful about opening a new office somewhere where we think, you know, we can build a core of people that can really help us kind of continue to build the company. And so we've identified Temecula as what we think would be a great area for a dedicated technology office where we can have, you know, upwards of 50 full-time technology staff that can be working in conjunction with the rest of our technology teams across the country. But working with us on in the inception and design and development and bringing to market of new technology capabilities.
Well, thank you for bringing tech here to the Riverside County. You know, I've been in Silicon Valley, I've been in other tech hubs, and it's nice to have ones in California. You know, so maybe we can make this the new Silicon Valley out here. And your company was at the forefront of doing it, George. And I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. Thanks for bringing jobs, you know, here in California. You know, I tell you, it's awesome. And I don't want to forget to let the audience know out there what your slogan is. And the slogan is to empower individuals to live healthier and longer. And you guys are definitely staying true to that vision, George.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you. And we'd love to have you back on again. And we'll see how things are going later on in the year. Okay.
Sounds terrific, Paul. Thank you.
George, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Folks, that was George DeVries, chairman, CEO, co-founder of American Specialty Health. Enjoyed my conversation with him. I really did. Now, I want to give you some information out there on the website. Now, he talked about jobs coming to Temecula if you're looking to relocate or maybe you live in an area. Now, here's their website right here. You can go to www.ashcompanies.com. Ashcompanies.com. And there you see a tab for careers, and you can click on there, and you can check out the careers that they have there. It looked like a really cool company to work for. Should I retire from my media gig and get into tech? I don't know. What do you think, Sean? Should I do that? And also, they have a pretty cool YouTube too. I want to play that for you too. It's really quick, but you can definitely check out the intent behind it. Here we go, right here. YouTube talking about the new center they opened up, tech-mecula.com. You can go there too. As well. All right. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about, remember in the 80s when the song came out, how, what was it, video killed the radio star? Well, has mobile killed the shopping cart? We're going to find out the answer to that question coming up as my next guest join me on the show. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back on the Tech Zone. Welcome back. Third and final segment of the show. So happy you decided to stay with me. I'm sure our guests are happy you decided to stay with us. Sean, I'm happy you decided to stay with me. Because Sean, without you, there is no show, my friend. That's all that I'm saying. Hey, we hope you enjoyed our tech news that we've been talking about during the show. And different things that you may not have thought about when it comes to technology. Think about the first time when you made your first purchase online from that website. Remember the shopping cart? It's pretty cool, wasn't it? And then when you got your mobile device, you're able to do some shopping from your smartphone. What has that done to the shopping cart? Did video kill the radio star? Or did smartphones and mobile shopping kill the shopping cart? My next guest is going to help us to answer that question. His CEO of his company wrote a book, and that's Stephen Schonbach of NewStore, CEO of NewStore. He wrote a book. It's entitled Makeover: How Mobile Flipped the Shopping Cart and What to Do About It. So we decided to reach out to my good old friend, Phil Granoff from NewStore. We had Phil on last year, and Phil gave us some good advice of when it comes to the shopping, mobile security, and all these things that companies can do. So we decided to invite Phil back to talk about this book and all the juicy things that's in there. And joining me right now to discuss this in depth and a lot better than I can discuss it, we're talking about the Chief Marketing Officer at NewStore, Phil Granoff. He joins me back again. Phil, welcome. How are you, my friend?
Great. Glad to be back. Good to see you.
Hey, great to have you, my friend. And when I was looking over this book, it kind of took me back to like the 80s. Remember when the video was video kill the radio star? Are we seeing mobile kind of killing the shopping cart? What are we seeing, my friend?
That's a really nice parallel. That's pretty much what's going on. So the introduction of mobile devices has completely, as we've said, flipped the shopping cart. The way that people shop and buy and investigate is very, very different than how it was, you know, back when radio was killing the video god. You know, the store used to be the primary source of information about product and where you'd go to learn about things. Now it's primarily the mobile phone. You know, I think even only, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago or 2012, 14% of people would go into a store having looked at their mobile phone. And as of last year, it was 2/3 of people are going into a store with having already looked up information on their mobile phone. So things have completely changed, and how we research and buy now has been fundamentally altered by this wonderful device here, the mobile phone.
That is so true. And looking at the book that your CEO put out, Stefan Schomburg, when he talked about makeover, how mobile flipped the shopping cart and what to do about it. And what I like about this book right here, Phil, is that it really tells companies out there what they can do about it. And looking at the first chapter of the book, it really talked about customer relationship. Why is that so important? And how does the book kind of navigate us through that?
So the customer relationship is the primary means of creating value between the consumer and the retail or the brand. And how that's changed has been dramatic over the last 10 years. And the impact has been huge. I mean, you could say very simply that retail is in crisis. And it's in crisis because retailers, brick and mortar retailers, are still struggling to figure out how to compete in the internet age. And it sounds silly to even call it the internet age because as consumers, of course, we're living in it, but this is a serious change for retailers who are stuck in a different world. They've seen over the last 5 years almost 60% decline in foot traffic, which is remarkable. And this year, I guess a year ago in the same time period, there were 1,100 store closings throughout the U.S. That's now at 2,800. So if you think about what's going on there, it's a couple of things. Consumers are looking for something different out of the store environment, and who the consumer is now is very different. Millennials are becoming a huge part of the purchasing power that fuels growth in retail, and about 2/3 of them, they prefer to do their shopping on the smartphone. So the consumer is in a very, very different mindset right now, and who the consumer is different, and retail itself is in a world of hurt.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because when we kind of look at some of the, I guess, the three long-lasting, the vectors that are out there, and one of the ones that has to kind of be at the forefront is that experience. How important is experience when it comes to that, learning from experience and not repeating the mistakes of the past?
So, do you mean experience from the standpoint of the consumer or the experience that brick and mortar companies are learning from?
Let's talk about the brick and mortar companies, because sometimes, you know, brick and mortar companies, they're kind of resistant, right? So what can they learn in that experience?
So I think they need to take a long perspective of what's made them successful in the past and how that is now translated to a world that is obsessed with mobile devices. A store, a physical store has always been a source of experience. It was a place to not only touch and try products, but in some cases it was the proxy for the town square. So people go to stores for an experience and for learning. So now in a world where there are mobile devices, how does that experience change? Is there the same burden on a physical store for experience that there was prior to it? So what retailers need to understand is that their store, which has always been a place for experience, now has more pressure for something that is new, and I would say a new kind of experience. So the successful retailers are not going to ignore these devices. What they're going to do is they're going to take a harder look at what happens inside their retail environment and think about how do we create new and novel experiences for our consumer, because it's no longer just a place to hold inventory. And if you think about even the word store, what does it actually mean? It means a place to keep things. So the meaning of store is going to utterly change. It's going to be a place to do things.
Wow, that is so true. And I'm so glad in the book that there's a chapter that deals with store relationships, because, contrary to popular belief, stores are not dead. You know, they're still around, and I'm glad that there's a chapter in the book that kind of deals with that. And also that takes us to associate relationship, because in the book it kind of talks about that too. And please give us a rundown of what we'll find out in that chapter.
Sure. So as you know, the book is called Makeover and What to Do About It. So there are 9 chapters and 9 areas that we go into detail on in the book. And one of them is about the makeover that needs to happen with the store associate. And it's really around how retailers need to think about revamping the relationship that consumers have with their associates. It needs to be something much closer. It needs to be something in which the store associate is equipped at the very minimum with the same tools that consumers are coming into their stores with, and that's a mobile phone. So 90% of shoppers will spend more when they're helped by a knowledgeable sales associate. But what makes us all knowledgeable now? It's not necessarily a little black book that has the details of a consumer, although some store associates have that also. It's the ability to have access to real-time inventory, what promotions are going on, and what that consumer wants to have exactly, that is, tailored to that person. But yet right now, only 18% of associates have access to inventory in any kind of mobile device. This needs to be 100%. So the makeover that needs to happen in the store with the associate is about equipping them with the technology that consumers have already at their fingertips.
And that makes a lot of sense, because now, even when you go to restaurants now, you know, even though restaurants are, you know, I guess they do kind of mobile selling certain things, their merchandise and everything. Even when you go to restaurants now, the waiters or waitresses, they have in their hand, they have a device in their hand, and they can let you know right then and there, okay, this, and that. And what's been kind of the, I guess, the feedback with some companies out there? Are they kind of resistant to do this, or are they finally seeing now, in order for us to be relevant, this is something we have to do when it comes to retailers?
Good question. There's a chapter called on the corporate makeover. That is, how corporations need to rethink their whole value proposition. And part of that is not just what they're offering in the store experience, but how they organize themselves. So traditionally, corporations or retailers divide themselves up into silos. There's the e-com division and there's the store division. And from a consumer standpoint, there's no division at all. They just go to one brand entirely. So what retailers are now beginning to understand and brands are beginning to understand is that the makeover that needs to occur inside is about breaking down silos. So where we see resistance to adopting this, it's in the older line organizations that have very entrenched silos. And usually what it requires is someone new to come in and say, hey, you know what? Let's take a step back and take a look at this from the consumer's perspective. Is there really a value to having separate channels when the consumer is just simply having one brand? You know, and going back to your restaurant example, I really love it because, you know, you could certainly eat at home or you can certainly buy groceries from a grocery store. But what's the reason you go to the store or go to the restaurant? You go for an experience, and it's something that can be had there that you can't really have, you know, by just cooking at home or by, you know, going to a vending machine, say. So your store associate is a bit like that great waiter who becomes an advocate for the brand and a primary vehicle for creating an experience for the consumer. So it's not just, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. You know, you're right on the right track. Go ahead. I'm sorry about that, my friend.
You know, I think one reason consumers are different than they are now has to do with a brand that we're all very aware of, and that is Amazon. Amazon is truly setting the expectations for all of retail. I'm sure you're aware of, you know, Amazon's purchase of Whole Foods.
Absolutely.
I think they're now going to, I think Amazon probably should change their name to Whole Economy at this point. You know, but they now have access to, I think, 100 million consumers that will have the ability to get Prime delivery like that. Mm-hmm. So Amazon is setting the bar for all of retailers and their ability to deliver, their ability to provide convenience. These are the things that are hallmarks of Amazon. But where's the value that they can provide in the experience? It's only around the convenience. And the advantages that stores have lie in two things: their physical locations and their store associates that can create an experience for consumers. And no matter how efficient and how fast Amazon gets, this will be something that physical environments will always have over Amazon.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that. That is so true. And Amazon can do all this. All these big companies can do all these different things. But if they're not loyal to their customers, it really means nothing. And in the book, it kind of talked about the loyalty relationship. And please share something on that, please.
Yeah, I'd like our audience to think a little bit differently about loyalty. In the old days, for the old store, not the new store, loyalty was basically about points, collecting points. Today, millennials especially, they're not interested in collecting points. They're interested in collecting experiences. So you can think now of apps that are on the mobile phones of consumers as the new loyalty card. In fact, they're really the tool of choice for the most engaged sort of customer. So if you think about your own experience online, you probably begin on the web. And as you get familiar or comfortable or you begin to have affinity for a brand, you'll likely download their app. Now, within that app, there'll be many more experiences that you could have there that you never were able to have in just a pure brick and mortar experience. And you bring that into a physical environment. There's approximately 80% of people who go into a store that actually have their phone with them at the same time. Think about the interaction effect that you can have with a phone in store. So if you have a promotion, say that are for people of my age, 25 years old, right? And I'm in, say, a Walmart, or I'm in, say, Dick's Sporting Goods, I could target something specifically for someone my age in the store in a certain aisle. And that can only happen because the mobile device is in my pocket. So it's a whole different type of store experience that can be had once you think about the mobile store as a whole, that is mobile technology embedded into a physical store.
And that kind of ties in great to the technology relationships that company has to have too, because I can't tell you, I'm in a store, have my smartphone, and something will pop up like from that store, and I'm like, it's magic, but it's really not magic. It's technology, please. How does that chapter kind of explain that, what we're seeing in the technological relationships now the companies, have to have?
So the technology makeover is one that many companies struggle with, especially when they think of it from a bottoms-up approach. That is, okay, we have to have geolocation, we have to have iBeacons, we have to have mobile point of sale and checkout. And I would say that all has to be done, but the secret to success is twofold. You have to find the right kind of chief technology officer who's willing to think about the brand experience, and then you have to spend a lot of time in the Apple Store. And the reason why I say that is the new store, the store that is going to be the most satisfying for tomorrow's consumer, is going to run a lot like Apple on steroids. If you go into the Apple Store, can you find a cash register? No. Can you check yourself out? Absolutely. Do you have a great relationship with the Genius Bar or those folks running around in the t-shirts? Absolutely. And if you take a look at the Apple Store at lunchtime versus the Microsoft Store at lunchtime, one looks like a ghost town and one looks like Grand Central Station. And the reason why is that Apple has figured out how to have a seamless, frictionless experience within the store that is not only wonderful to go and be part of, but actually reflects the abilities that can be had on the device too. So the store, and in some ways, is a reflection of how they approach technology in general. And that's really the lesson for brands and retailers as they think about their own technology stack, how to be more like Apple in that regard.
And you know what, Phil, I think you and I might have talked about this a little bit the last time we had a discussion, just the way technology is today, and we're having this discussion, and everything that can happen now because of the technological age in which we live in, it's mind-boggling. It's like you have to hold on to the roller coaster so you won't fall off because all the different things changing and the different trends out there. But I think this book is amazing, and it really can help not only consumers understand things, but also ones in business on what they need to do in order to stay relevant. And I know you guys touch on data relationships, fulfillment relationships, and brand relationships. How important is brand relationships?
Now, you're talking to a chief marketing officer, so there's a little bit of bias here. So I'll say that as my caveat.
Absolutely.
I actually think it's perhaps the most important aspect of all the book is about. I'm sure the author, Stefan, my boss, who's going to hear this, will put this in my performance review. But eventually technology is becoming so powerful that it tends to disappear. And what remains, what always remains, is the memory of your experience with the retailer, which by any other name is the brand. So the brand relationship makeover is about how should retailers think about what the brand means to consumers and how it should change versus where it has been in the past. The secret here is that the brand has always been owned by the consumer. And we've been giving lip service to it for many years because it was always good to say positive things about the consumer. But now, when you in fact have every consumer with one of these in their hands, they truly are in charge of what the brand means. They can configure their experience to meet exactly their needs. So the lesson to retailers is that your brand is not yours. Your brand is owned by your consumers. And listen to them carefully. Because even as technology advances at the pace that you and I are referring to, which is blinding, what will remain true is that we're going to be selling to human beings who are going to have memory about the experiences and relationships they establish with those brands.
And I'm waiting for the day, Phil, when AI start ordering stuff and charging us, charging our credit cards. That's what I'm out of here, man. I'm going to Mars, man. I'm done. I'm done with Earth. No, I'm just joking. But you know, and we see in this book right here on really helping us to see what to do about it when it comes to this. To this makeover, you know, I think it's spot on. Now, is there anything else in the book you'd like to articulate out there to the audience that we might not have had a chance to discuss thus far?
I think there are just I'll end on a last point, which is in retail, they're going to be big losers and they're going to be big winners. And what defines a big loser from a big winner are the ones that are able to get mobile right. When they get mobile right, that means that they're going to be taking the right perspective about how consumers want to interact with their brand that is on their terms. We actually refer to it as streaming retail, which is the idea, well, it's a bit borrowed from Netflix, right? Which is you can begin to pluck a shopping experience out of the air at any time, anywhere you are. So in effect, your brands are streaming around you all the time. And it's your choice as to when you want to interact with them. That's ultimately what the mobile makeover is about. We're entering the world of streaming retail, which will satisfy your needs at the moment you have them in the context that the needs arise. So I guess the thing that I would leave you with most is mobile going to happen to you or for you? And the answer to that, you know, not to promote it too much, Paul, but it's in this book, Makeover, which is a great read. And I know people are going to enjoy it in and outside of business.
Absolutely. We got an image right here too, so we'll definitely promote it together right here by Stefan Schambach, who's the CEO, your boss over there, over at New Store Makeover, how mobile flipped the shopping cart and what to do about it. Now, how can ones get their hands on this book, Phil?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Of course, I would have put my talking point in there anyway. You know, Paul, again, as the CMO, of course, it can be found in all the normal places. It's on Amazon, it's on iTunes, it's on Kindle. It can be had in both hard copy and, you know, on electronic copy as well. And while, you know, it may sound ironic that a company devoted to creating seamless mobile experiences has actually produced a physical book, but it is very mobile and portable, and you can bring it onto a flight, and you'll get to keep it open when you land and when you take off. Unlike all the other devices. So it has some advantages there. See, physical has still got a place in the world.
That is so awesome. And if you're looking for a good narration voice to narrate it, I can put on my King's English voice and I can narrate it for him too. That's what I can do.
Now we're talking, Paul. All right.
Phil, great catching up with you, my friend. Looking forward to having you back on again. And love our discussions and much success over at Everett New Store. And you take care of yourself, my friend.
It was a pleasure, Paul. Thanks again.
That was Phil Granoff, folks, from New Store, Chief Marketing Officer. Love catching up with Phil and love the book that Stefan wrote too, Makeover. Make sure you get a copy of it. I have it right here. I want to hold it up, but fingers don't work that good. It would be a catastrophe if I held it up. That's all that I'm saying. But a great read. Definitely check it out. Well, hey, this is the end of our show. I'm so happy you decided to tune in and watch and listen to all the great things that you're doing. Remember, connect with me, paulamadeuslane.com. That's PaulAmadeusLane.com. In a few weeks, we will be live at Comic-Con 2017 in San Diego. Don't miss our coverage and have a blast. But next week, talk about some more tech that's on your mind. Take care, folks. Talk to you soon.